Hi, welcome to Module 2 of Software Engineering. Now, after last week's module focused on the practicalities of the course, we're now ready to get down to business, to start to talk about software engineering. In this module, we'll talk about what software engineering is and why I think it's an important subject for you to learn. And what better way is there to go into that subject than by noticing that software these days is everywhere. Almost nothing in the modern world works without software. For example, business transactions are handled through software. For businesses, software has also shown itself to be a great disruptor. Take, for example, the case of Amazon.com. It has killed whole bookstore chains in the US and is giving many mortar and brick stores in other areas than books a run for their life. Or think about what companies like Uber and Volt have done to traditional industries like taxi transportations and restaurants. Further, most government processes are digital or in the process of being digitalized. Our infrastructure for communications, water, fuel, and electricity is dependent on software systems, both for planning and running the infrastructure. And most services that we use these days are also digitally provided. And if we go home and go to the office, most devices and appliances that we use are full of software, either for controlling internally or for connecting them to the internet. So now with the emergence of the Internet of Things, even, you know, our dishwashers, refrigerators, door locks, heating systems, stereos, televisions, whatever, everything is connected to the internet and often controlled by it. And all of this, obviously, is also enabled by software. When you go and sit down in your Tesla or other modern car, most of its functions depend on software. It has actually been estimated that a typical modern car has over 100 million lines of code worth of software in it. Think about that, a huge amount. And you know, it's better work so we can get to our destination safely. And lastly, I want to mention that all systems using artificial intelligence or machine learning are also software systems that still need to be developed, operated, and maintained, just like all other software systems. So we also need to be able to develop software to use and build such systems. One way of really understanding how dependent we are on software is to imagine what the world would look like today if all software were turned off. Reflect on that for a second. How would it be being unable to use any system with software? How would that affect your life? It's pretty hard to imagine. In a classic essay from 2011, one of the readings for this module, Mark Andreessen, the guy behind the Netscape browser, one of the first really graphical good web browsers that started the internet revolution, he wrote that all this means that software is eating the world, that is becoming completely ubiquitous. It will be everywhere. So when you read his essay now, reflect on how close we are to that vision today, 12 years after he wrote it. So as software is everywhere, and we are more or less completely reliant on it, it's also a major economic driver in the modern world. In developed countries, it has been estimated that software-related costs make up a sizable share of the gross national product. And for most high-tech products, like for example mobile phones, the cost of software development for those phones clearly outweighs the cost of developing the hardware. And large software projects are known to be very expensive. Large projects can actually cost hundreds of millions of euros, and projects going over a billion even are not unheard of. As an example of a local project here in Finland, the pre-study licensing, tailoring, deployment and training related to the new system for patient data in the Helsinki region, the so-called Apotti project, has cost over 800 million euros by the end of 2022, and it's still not done. As software engineers, we are mostly focused on the engineering part, and in this case it means developing software in a cost-efficient manner. In practice, This means making necessary trade-off decisions concerning, for example, features versus quality, and ensuring that we are using appropriate processes during the whole effort to make sure that what we are doing is up to professional standards. The fact that software is everywhere and we are so reliant on it also means that when it doesn't work, the effects, the results can be catastrophic at worst and annoying, only annoying at best. So when software fails, money, careers, and even human lives can be lost. The world is full of examples of software failures, leading to both catastrophic and sometimes funny situations. A classic story in the field of software engineering is that of the Therac 25 radiation treatment machine, which, due to a software failure, killed several patients by giving them hundreds of times more radiation than they should have gotten. There are also several cases in which the self-driving software for the Tesla cars has been blamed for collisions with lethal outcomes, for example, by confusing a white truck with a cloud and hitting it full speed head-on. Problems with software can also ruin careers, even for non-software engineers. A recent example here is that of Volkswagen CEO Herbert Diess. He had to leave his job mainly due to the Volkswagen Group not being able to develop and shift their software on time. The software problems actually were so deep that they were not able to release their cars on schedule, and that created significant challenges for the whole Volkswagen conglomerate that has many brands of cars. And as a result, the CEO had to go. And of course, software failures often result in money losses, small or large, sometimes very large. One traditional example is about a trading company who traded in stocks on the stock market, and they installed a new piece of software to help them trade more efficiently. And it sure did. It actually managed to lose $440 million in about 30 minutes. And as a result, a few years later, the company needed to shut down. It lost over 75% of its value in half an hour and never recovered. More close to home, many employees in the Helsinki city have not received their paychecks on time due to issues with developing and running the current payroll system. And all those problems have plagued them for months. And again, as software engineers, our job is to ensure that the software we build works the way it's supposed to, even when developed under real-world constraints, such as limited budgets and tight schedules. Avoiding software engineering disasters, that's something we can best do through having a good set of practices in place for building in and assuring that the quality we have during the whole development effort is there in place. And this is something we'll discuss later during the course. So all of the above obviously leads to, in my mind, the simple conclusion that it is really, really important that software systems are built, operated, and maintained in a professional manner. And that, exactly, is the goal of software engineering. So when we talk about professional software engineering, what do we really mean by that? Well, typically this means that we have persons with the necessary skills to develop software, and they do it for someone else, not as a hobby, and they do it as a profession. They are getting paid for it. And in addition to having the necessary skills, they also have the necessary ethical inclinations to make correct decisions, as we will discuss later during the course. And in most cases also, professional software development is not about just a single individual working by him or herself. It involves teams of people working together. And in software development undertakings, the number of people involved in professional software development really can vary quite a lot, from a single team with a few developers to organizations with up to thousands of people simultaneously working on the same piece of software. And also, the types of software systems developed and their sizes can vary a lot, from small pieces of code easily developed and maintained by a single person, to very large systems consisting of hundreds of millions of lines of code, and potentially involving many technologies in the same system. So thus, the scale of the organizations and the scale of the systems can vary a lot. What's important when we talk about software engineering, though, is that it's done as a profession in a professional manner. And that means we are slowly but surely getting closer to giving a formal definition of software engineering. First of all, it contains the word engineering. It's an engineering discipline. And what engineering means is that we use theories and methods from other fields, typically like computer science, mathematics, management, and so on, to solve software engineering problems under real-world constraints. These real-world constraints are related very typically to available technologies, to budgets, to schedules, available resources, people we have, and so on. And further, we are concerned with all aspects of software development, from understanding what to build, understanding the requirements, to deploying, building, deploying, operating, maintaining, and retiring the system. So coding, if you wish, though a critical aspect, it's one single part of a much bigger whole that we talk about in software engineering, as we will shortly understand when we took a look at the so-called software engineering body of knowledge. Much of this is not technical in nature. So, for example, we talk about process management, organizations, people management, and method and tool-related issues. All of these are extremely important to succeeding in software development. So, let's take a look at a definition of software engineering. So, there have during the years been many formal definitions of software engineering during its history. But the most widely adopted one today, and the one we will be using during this course, is the one by IEEE, and it's also adopted by the ISO, Standards Organization, as in their standard vocabulary. And this definition states, as you can see here, that software engineering is the application of a systematic, disciplined, quantifiable approach to the development, operation, and maintenance of software. That is, the application of engineering to software. Well, there are several important aspects of this definition. First of all, it calls for a systematic approach. That means using some repeatable method or process for developing software. It calls for discipline, meaning that we stick to agreed ways of working and we try to aim for a quantifiable approach that we can measure to help assess, improve, and control it. And as I said, software engineering is not only about development, it also concerns the operation, as in DevOps, for example, that many of you might have heard of, and maintenance, fixing the bugs, making sure that the system evolves to meet changing needs. And finally, I want to mention that when we talk about software engineering and software in that definition, the term software is understood very broadly. So it doesn't only refer to the actual software code, but software here also refers to all relevant other documentation, such as requirements documentations, requirement specifications, design documents, test cases, manual and automatic test cases, user guides, and so on. So all the different artifacts that are involved in building and maintaining and operating the software system would be part of software here in this definition. Well, there having been many definitions of software engineering during the years, there has also always been a debate about what actually is software engineering and what is not. And that's, as a reaction to that, the IEEE has sponsored the development of a software engineering body of knowledge that now provides a canonical view to what is and what is not software engineering. And this body of knowledge is currently in its third version, released in 2014, so almost 10 years old. But fortunately, a fourth version is currently in beta. The beta came out, the last version, just at the end of last year. And this has incorporated much of the new trends in software engineering. In particular, it has added very, very relevant material on agile software development and DevOps and continuous software engineering. And as this version is more relevant and more and pretty close to being finalized, this is the version of the software engineering body of knowledge we will be referring to during this course, rather than the slightly outdated official version that is 10 years old. On the course main page, I provide both versions for you to take a look at. It's pretty dry reading, but I will have you look briefly through them during this first module, so you know what's in there. But let's take a quick look at the core of software engineering. And that's defined as in 18 knowledge areas, and they together now comprise the field of software engineering, according to the software engineering body of knowledge. And in addition to these knowledge areas, the body of knowledge also identifies related disciplines, such as computer science, management, project management, mathematics, quality management, and so on. And these are disciplines that are not part of software engineering, but are relevant to. So we might need and want to use theories and methods and models from those fields. Well, the knowledge areas from the software engineering body of knowledge are shown here in the table. I will do a very, very quick walkthrough of them. So the first one is requirements engineering. That's about how to understand and manage that understanding of what software we actually need to build. So this includes topics like requirements elicitation, requirements specification, requirements validation, and requirements management, as well as all potential tools that are related to managing and eliciting requirements. The second one is software architecture. Now that's about designing a system at the absolutely highest level. So it includes topics like architecture description, architecture process, and architecture evaluation, that is how to understand whether that overall architecture is any good. Knowledge area 3 is software design. That's about analyzing the requirements to create the external characteristics, what is visible outside, like, for example, any APIs, other interfaces, and the user interface. And then the internal structure, that is the modules, class diagrams, and so on, as a basis for actually then implementing the system by coding. This includes then topics like design processes, design qualities, how to record or document the designs, and strategies and various methods for design and evaluation of the design. Knowledge area 4, software construction. That's actually now then the detailed creation and maintenance of software through coding, verification, unit testing, integration testing, and debugging. So these are the things that you would typically learn and work with on your normal programming courses. So this includes topics like managing construction, various technologies and tools for construction like integrated development environments, compilers, and other tools that you typically use when you actually code the software. Knowledge area 5 then is software testing. And software testing here is understood as the dynamic validation of the system to see whether that it provides an expected behavior on a finite set of test cases. So you don't prove that it works always. You have a certain set of test cases and check when testing that the behavior is the expected one with those test cases. It includes topics like test levels, test techniques, how to measure tests, and testing process and testing tools. Knowledge area 6 then is about operations, the ops in DevOps, if you wish. So that's the deployment, installation, deployment, operation, and support of a software system or application. It includes topics like operations planning, operations delivery, operations control, and operations tools. So various ways that you measure and run and check that everything works while a software system is up and running. Knowledge area 7 then, knowledge maintenance, software maintenance, that's about managing an evolving software system. So this is then the activity related to fixing bugs that are found during use and evolving the software to meet changing needs, like, for example, changes to a technology or a change in user needs. So this then includes topics like maintenance processes, techniques, and tools. Knowledge area 8, Software Configuration Management is about managing and controlling all the various versions and configurations of all artifacts files involved in software development. So this again includes topics like identifying what to put under configuration management, change control, status accounting, auditing, release management and delivery. So something that we is related, for example, to continuous deployment. So release management and delivery and related tools. So this is also where you would have your Git and other tools for version control and your various build tools and so on. Number nine is software engineering management. So this now is then about how to plan, estimate, measure, control, coordinate, and lead software development in an organization. So the management aspects and planning aspects of software development. And this includes then topics like how to start and define a scope, a project and define a scope, project planning and enactment, that means how to run a project, how to review and evaluate projects, and how to close projects. And it also includes software engineering management, which includes topics related to managing the actual organizations that develop software. Knowledge area 10, software engineering process, is about what activities are involved in software engineering. In particular, this is about high-level views to software engineering, topics like lifecycle models and software process assessment and improvement. And actually, next week we will start with this topic because it gives a nice introduction to the overall flow of software development. Number 11 is software engineering models and methods. So here we have all the various modeling methods that we use in software engineering. Many of you might be familiar with UML or PetriNets or and so on that you can use to either formally or semi-formally model, and in some certain cases simulate software behavior. And this includes topics like modeling, different types of models, analysis of models, and software engineering methods, also like, for example, agile methods. Number 12 is software quality. So we had the one about testing. This is software quality in a broader perspective, how to understand and assess the quality of software as a whole, not only at the level of unit and testing and automated testing. So this includes topics like quality management processes, quality assurance processes, and quality tools. Number 13, software security, is a new topic for this version. It's about how to build secure software systems, so how to take security aspects into account already when designing and building a software system. And the topics we have here are security management and organization, security engineering and processes, security tools, and also information about domain-specific software security. For example, how to build secure systems for the cloud, for the Internet of Things, or for machine learning-based applications. Number 14. Goes into what we already mentioned earlier, the professional aspect of software engineering. So this knowledge area talks about the knowledge and skills and attitudes software engineers must possess to practice software engineering in a professional, responsible, and ethical manner. So this includes topics of professionalism, where you, for example, would have things like code of ethics, group dynamics and psychology, and communication skills. Number 15 is about software engineering economics, and that's about how to understand, model, and do decision making based upon values and trade-off decisions. So there are a lot of different topics here on various kinds of decision making and estimation involved. And then the final ones are so-called foundations. Number 16 then is computing foundation. So this is about understanding, first of all, the difference between a programmer and a software engineer, which is a much broader job. And this area also identifies what topics from computer science that a software engineer is expected to know. And in a similar vein, in number 17, mathematical foundations, this knowledge area identifies what mathematical topics is important for a professional software engineer to know. And number 18 then identifies what engineering topics from other disciplines a software engineer is expected to know. Ha! That was a long list, right? So as you can see, software engineering encompasses quite a large number of topics. And self-evidently, we will not be able to cover these in depth during this single introductory course. However, if you are interested in these topics at a more detailed level, I warmly welcome you to take our major in software engineering here at Aalto, where we go into much more depth. I will give you more information also about the major later during the course, but rest assured that we will do this kind of brief overview of most of these topics during this course. Okay, so now given all of this, why should you care about software engineering? Well, from my point of view, obviously, this is the best, most interesting, coolest topic there is. So if that's not good enough a reason, then what can be? Well, on a more serious note, there is a huge need for software engineers in various roles in the industry. Actually, here in Finland, the IT industry's increasing pressure on our universities to produce more graduates that with the necessary skills to become software engineers, and also pressure on the government to allow for more skilled workers from abroad to enter the country. Right now, where we are now, the demand for software engineers in Finland clearly outweighs the supply. So there is a huge need for people who know software engineering and want to become and make careers in software engineering. So software engineers in companies, they take on various roles, from the things most people think about, from being developers, testers, into more senior roles like architects, and in teams becoming scrum masters. They can be product owners, team leaders, project managers, and typically many software engineers also then end up on the so-called dark side, becoming managers or entrepreneurs and CEOs. So this software engineering as a topic is a great start for a good career in the industry. Software engineering positions are typically very well paid, and they do provide good career prospects. And further, software engineering forms a really good basis for software entrepreneurship. So if you feel like you want to found your own company, this is a really great subject for you to study. As you know, software companies typically can be able to create profits and grow very, very quickly in a completely different way than companies in more traditional businesses. And finally, going back to the reliance of the modern world on software engineering, becoming a software engineer makes it possible for you to work on something that really matters. And, you know, you can do your way through software to help make the world a better place. And with that, that's my short introduction to software engineering. See you next week. Thanks for now. Bye.